Amen. Good morning again. It was fun last week. Just a great time with our seniors and continue to encourage them. It's a weird year that we didn't get to do it in-house, where we usually have our seniors come and tell us what they're doing and what it's about. And so just thanks, church, for showing up. Keep showing up. Please keep letting them know how you love them. It's a good thing. So we are studying in the book of 2 Timothy. So we started this months ago, months and months and months ago, and then stopped it for a few months because of the whole COVID-19 thing, and we've gotten back to this back in our third week now, back to it. And I want to remind you of a few things because there's a reason why we dove into 2 Timothy and why we spent some time and why we need to finish it out and what we need to be thinking about, especially as we're still within this COVID-19 thing. You know, it's sort of kind of coming around again. Some people are getting sick. That's okay. You know, that's what happens in the world, right? So, but where is our focus going to be, and what do we need to remember, and where do we need to be at? So, I'll remind you of our mission statement. Our mission statement here at Grace Gospel is to exalt Christ and to point others to Him. To exalt Christ and to point others to Him, right? So that's what we're about. That's what we need to be about. That's what our lives need to be about. Our very lives need to be about honoring Christ in what we do and showing others who He is. That's what it needs to be. So it's a reminder, again, of our vision statement. How do we carry that out, right? And so our vision statement is that we are called to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to build His kingdom. And I love that. I love that vision as we say, how do we exalt Christ and how do we point others to Him, right? We need to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement, right? So in other words, it can't be our strength. It's got to be His strength. It can't be our will. It's got to be His will. It can't be our agenda. It's got to be His agenda. And a movement moves, right? We talked about that way back, if you remember, way back. You know, a movement moves. That's what movements do. And so we need to do that. And so a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to multiply His kingdom, not our kingdom. It's not about us, people. It's not about you and me. It's about Him. It's not about showing people how to get along better in life. This is not like, you know, how to succeed in life 101. That's not what we're about. This is about how to know Jesus and how to know truth and how to know what life is really meant to be and who we're really called to be in Him. And so I'll remind you that, last year we went through 1 Timothy and we went through discipleship series and we said, boy, what do we need to be about this year? What does this year need to be for us? And so we said, we've really got to concentrate on that mission statement, on that vision statement. And you remember I gave you five areas in the beginning of the year. I gave a state of the church message, five areas that we really wanted to concentrate on this year. So the first one was the urgency of the gospel. And I got to tell you, if you don't see that in our culture today, the urgency of the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're not seeing with Jesus' eyes. Because we're in desperate need of Christ in our culture and in our world. Now, we're always in desperate need of Christ, right? But people are walking away. People are buying into other truths, into their own truths, into all kinds of things. And so what we need to be about is the gospel and the urgency of that. Secondly, was transformational ministry. And we didn't want just transactional ministry. And I talked about that a few months ago, about what the difference of that is. That it's not just about coming to church, punching your card. It's not just about counting numbers. It's not just about getting people. It's about changing lives. It's about transformation. Christ is making us into, when we come to Him and know Him, we become a new creation, and then we become a new creation. Right? And then there's a sanctification, a transformation process that needs to happen. And so that's what we want to be about. We don't want Jesus as an addition. We want Jesus as a takeover in our lives. That's what we want to be about. So urgency of the gospel, transformational ministry, released for service. And so what we want our brothers and our sisters within our congregation, especially those who are part of us, we want you to know that God has called you to something and He wants to release you. And we want to be a releasing body. We want to release people for service to do what God has called you to do to do what God has called you to do, that you would not shrink back, that you would not step back, but that you would be who God has called you to be. Within that, we want to equip you as best as we can. First, we want to equip you for godliness in Christ, and then we want to equip you in your ministry and those kind of things. And so we were very much, you know, we were concentrating. We had ministry meetings with all of our teams this year, and actually we all but one, because that got canceled by COVID, and we'll do them all again, I guess, sometime, you know. But you know, we want to equip our people. You know, we're doing we're concentrating on when people come into ministry, how we train them and how we concentrate and how we spend time with them and not just kind of, you know how it is, right? You know, oh, you want to do a ministry? Great. Well, just get in there and do it, right? And then you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how it goes. We don't want that. And then some platforms for ministry, and we won't even go over those because a lot of that's been kind of quelled, but we'll visit that again. There were three different areas that we talked about, different platforms that have been on our heart. But really, this is what we want to be about in this year. And so, again, COVID kind of took over, right? And there was just all kinds of stuff, and I was preaching to an empty room, and we're almost at max capacity for our first service. Our second service is not nearly as full. So if you want to come to second service, or make sure that you get your reservation in early for first service, if that's what you want to do, because eventually we're going to start cutting it off and saying you only can come to second. So, but that's a good issue, right? That's a good problem. That's why we have two services now and make sure that we can do more of that kind of stuff. So that's where we are. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be about. And that's why we jumped into 2 Timothy. That's why we specifically went into 2 Timothy. And I'll remind you a little bit about a background for 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is Paul's final letter. Matter of fact, he's about to die. Within a few months, literally, of this letter, at most, he's dead. And he knows that. It's not like his other imprisonments where he, even though he desired to be with Jesus, he knew he was going to be around for longer. He knows that he's not getting out of jail. And he's not just in any kind of jail. It wasn't like house arrest like he's in before. He's in a dungeon, and it's cold, and people have abandoned him because this is not, again, like an open imprisonment, if we can say it sort of like that, or like a house arrest. This is like, if you're associated with Paul, watch out because they're going to arrest you too. And so people don't want to be around him. And he doesn't have very much stuff. And he's by himself and he's lonely. And he begins to reflect. And I can just imagine this. And so then he challenges Timothy. He writes to Timothy this letter. Kind of like his last words. And I really think that we should take it that way. You know, a dying man's last words, you want to make sure you listen in, right? You want to press in hard. You want to say, what is his focus? Because when you're at the end, like Paul knows that he is, what is going to come out is what really is his heart and his priority. What really is his heart and his priority. And so he's challenged Timothy to focus on the mission of the church. He's challenged Timothy to focus to exalt Christ and to point others to him. He's challenged Timothy to not be thrown off by all the chaos, by all the trial, by all the struggle, by all the persecution that is happening, to be a soldier, like a soldier who is focused on mission and will not back off. And that's not very easy because, as he says in chapter 3, as we talked about 2 weeks ago and then last week, it's not very easy because we live in a time, or he was looking forward to a time, even though he was already in a bad time, of moral decline, where people really don't tolerate the gospel very much. And I don't know if we're in the end times, but I got to tell you, it sure feels like it. Sure feels like it. And I've always said I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, and I don't know when the end is coming, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's soon. I wouldn't be surprised if it's soon. And even as we look at our culture, and I won't read it again, but you go back to chapter 3 and look at the first 6 verses and what he talks about in first 5 verses of how these people are just for themselves and a love that is off from what it should be and a motivation that's off from what it should be. And we live within those times today. We live within a time where people don't tolerate the gospel. Like we talked about, they tolerate what's true for them. And so as Paul concludes this letter, he gets to this place where he, again, he's really focusing on what is vital, Timothy. What do I need you to do in light of the situation, in light of where we are in our culture today? And I don't believe he's talking to just Timothy. He's not just talking to me as a pastor. He's talking to the church. Church, what do we need to drill into? What do we need to be about? And so again, this is this pressing into a dying man, and where he says, I've got something to tell you. And you've got to hear me now. You got to hear me. And so he gives a charge to him. And it really is, it's like a military command. It's not optional. He says it forcefully, and he means to say it forcefully. He needs to. Again, he's already referenced the Christian life like the life of a soldier. So he's serious here. So this is where we are. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at this charge to Timothy, this command to Timothy, this pressing in of what Paul says. This is vital, Timothy. This is my last words, basically, to you. And it really is his last charge in this book. He's going to talk about a few other things that we're going to talk about next 2 weeks. But he's like, this is it. This is when we hone down, when we drill in, this is where you need to be. This is where we need to be. So this charge, first thing he does is he charges them to preach the truth. Look at what he says. Verse 1, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Preach, Timothy. Preach. Preach the truth. Preach the word. Preach, preach, preach. Deliver God's truth. What does this mean? Does it mean kind of going door to door? Does it mean quitting my job? Does it mean going overseas? So many of us are like, well, I don't know that I'm being called to be a pastor. That's great. We don't need tons of pastors. We need tons of ministers who are called to where God's called them to be the light where God's called them to be. And to preach the truth. I'm here to tell you, you guys get into places that I could never get into. And even when I get into those places, or if I could get into them, as soon as they find out I'm a pastor, as soon as they find it out, there's a pastor antenna goes up, and like, I'm just not like a regular guy, I'm not a real person, I'm just like, I don't know, I've got some sort of magical power or something like that to live in this way. Oh, well, that's how you live, but like, you know, there's something special about you. Just ask my wife. There's really nothing special about me. I'm here to tell you, right? But that's how it is, right? This antenna goes up, and they're like, oh, and then they watch out for the pastor talk. And they do. They watch out for it. And every once in a while, they invite it. But you guys get to live. See, you're real people to them. You're real people who are living real lives, who have real jobs, who do real stuff in life. I guess I don't do any of that, but who do real stuff. And you're not like this magical person. And so they're willing to listen a little bit more. Now, not always. We know that. We know it's hard. That's why most of us don't do it, because like, it's hard. We know it's hard. But Paul says, listen, we've got to preach the truth. We've got to preach God's word. And that's going to hang you guys up right there. Preach? Oh, I don't want to preach. That's what Patrick does. He preaches. Well, the definition, let me give you the official definition of to preach. Means to officially proclaim before the public a matter of great importance. We think of preaching as what I'm doing. And it is preaching. But I'm preaching to the church. And what's great about what we can do online is that we can get some people from outside maybe to join in who might never step foot in our church otherwise. And so it becomes a great tool to be used for that. So praise God for that. But it's not just from a pulpit. You preach with your very life. You preach with your life, with the way you live and by the words of your mouth. And so Paul says, you make sure you preach. You preach, you preach, you preach. But here's the rub. What does he tell us to preach? The word. Don't preach you. Don't preach your bent. Don't preach your stuff. You preach the word of God. See, it's the good news, right? And we talked about this last week. The word of God is the word of God because it is God-breathed. It is from God. And because it is God-breathed, it is useful. It's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness. The word of God never comes back void. I have so many people who have said to me in the past, church people, who are like, well, I can't really tell them the Bible because they don't believe that the Bible is true. So what are you going to do? Start arguing from logic? Well, your logic may sound good today until somebody else's logic sounds better tomorrow. And the reality is I can have all the logic in the world that doesn't make it truth, right? Because it might be built off the wrong premise. It might be logical completely. If it was true, the problem is it's just not true, which is why we got to preach the word, which is why, guess what? We got to know the word. We talked about this last week. There's no substitute for knowing the word of God. And I got to tell you, we live in a time more than any other person who's lived on this earth within the last 30 years, this time is like none other. We have more access to the word of God than any other people before us. Literally. We have it everywhere. Most of you own a phone. Most of you own a smartphone. You can download a Bible and have every translation imaginable. You can listen to it in your car. We have it available to us more. And I got to tell you, the problem is there is a lacking in the word of God in the church of Jesus Christ today. The more access we have, the less we know. The less we know. Why? Because we're looking for some other truth. We're looking for somebody else's way. We want somebody else to put it in a way that we can understand it better. Well, listen, just start reading. Just start reading. And know what you need to know. All right? And I need you to notice the urgency of this, right? Well, all right, so I'm going to preach when everything is perfect. If God sets it all up so that, like, I can't help but miss that they want to hear about Jesus, and oftentimes what that means is they have to, like, literally, like, would you tell me about Jesus, please? Right? What does Paul say? He says, preach it in season and out of season. What does that mean? What does it mean to preach in season and out of season? That means deliver God's truth all the time. That means when you have discussions and people ask you why you think the way you think, have a biblical answer for that. May it be biblically grounded. And it might not be popular. Oh, that's just written by a bunch of men. Well, guess what? But it's truth. And so my beliefs, remember we talked about this last week, our scripture needs to dictate our beliefs. If you don't know scripture, how's it dictating your belief? Which means what I believe should have a biblical foundation from it. What I believe to be right and wrong should have a biblical foundation for it. And if it doesn't have a biblical foundation, I need to question about whether it's right or not. I mean, really, seriously. I mean, then it's just open for opinion and it really doesn't matter. I mean, and honestly, let's start treating it that way. Because there's a lot of things in this world that really don't matter. I mean, they're important. All right, they're important. They're important about the way we live and about things that happen and about communal living, and that's really good and all that kind of stuff. But we fight for them like they're the absolute truth in life. And then the things that are absolutely true in life, we're like, I don't want to argue about that because we don't want to talk about religion. Listen, they're only truly worth fighting for. Listen, they're only truly worth separating for in relationships. There's a lot of separation of relationships now. You know, people are offended by everything. I can't believe somebody would say that. You know, and it's amazing. We hide behind our social media. We think that we can say things and then it doesn't matter. It does matter. It absolutely matters how you treat people, even on social media. So preach it in season and out of season. And he says, right, listen, be ready to give the word. Be ready to give it. And I love what he says. Verse 1, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead. Everybody's going to stand before Jesus. Everybody. Everybody. And we need to look at people as people who are going to stand before Jesus. And who are going to be judged. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks. You know what that means? Wait, are you saying you believe that? Yeah. Well, why would you believe that? That's stupid. I believe that because of this. Because God's word says. And guess what? You need to have an attitude that if they can show you something different in God's word, you'll change your belief. Too often we come at it like, I'm never going to change what I believe. Doesn't matter. Listen, if you can show me in God's word where what I believe is off, then we need to be teachable and ready to change that. Because God's word is the authority, not what I was taught my whole life. We've been taught things our whole life that we believe to be true that aren't always true. That's why you got to learn God's word so that you can either confirm it as truth or you can say, whoa, that isn't anywhere in there. What does God say about it now? And let me believe that. Even if I don't like it. Even if it might not be what's comfortable for me. Even if it's not necessarily what I would normally do. Why do you believe it? Because God's word says it. And that means that when you say that, you got to be able to show them someplace where it says that. That's what it means to always be ready to have a defense. Right? The time for prep is now. He says, preach the word in season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove is used above, right? So it says to reprove. We should reprove means to expose the sin. It's to expose the lie. And in the end of the day, I don't have to convince them of anything, right? I just have to say, listen, this is what God's word says. Well, I don't like it. Well, I might not even like it either. Guess what? There are certain things in God's word that I don't love. Like it's not comfortable. It doesn't match what I want to do. But that doesn't matter. It's still God's word, right? So we reprove, we allow it to expose the sin. To rebuke means to hold a person accountable for their deeds, good and bad. That's in the church and out of the church. That's in season and out of season. Now, that doesn't mean that we're constantly beating people up with what they're doing wrong. Okay? But it does mean we're always ready to give a defense for the answer of what we have. Like, why aren't you joining in? Well, I don't want to. I don't feel comfortable. My mom told me not to. Listen, I told my boys when they were much younger, and even now, if they need to use me as an excuse out of sin, they can do that. But at some point, if you're older and you're still using that as the excuse, there's something wrong. If you're like 25 and you're still going, well, my mom told me that I'm not supposed to do this, right? Something's wrong with that. Grow up. In other words, confirm your beliefs. Make sure what mom said is true, first of all, because if it might not be always accurate. And allow God's word to say that. Joshua, we can hear you up there. He's like saying stuff against me. I know he is. All right, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Exhort means to call to something, to encourage. Matter of fact, do you realize that the word encouragement, see, we think encouragement means, oh, come on, you can do it. And it does mean that, all right? I mean, that's part of it. But exhortation and encouragement are the same word in the Greek. Encourage, exhort. It means to call to something. It means like, yo, let's go. I was out at Jones Beach yesterday, so I go out to all the sites. I'm finished this week, praise the Lord, with my military thing. But for the last 2 weeks, they've been doing this push-up program. They're animals. They're just crazy. So it's fun because I'm doing none of it, and then they do something, and I go in and I do 10 of them. They're like, oh, look at the chaplain. Of course, I haven't done the 150 before, right? So Andrew's kind of an animal, so I'm like, I got to bring this home to Andrew, right? And so I gave it to him last week. So last night, I get in there, and I'm like, we're going to do this now. And he's like, all right, I guess, let's do it. I don't really, you know, of course, he's killing me because, like, now, I mean, you start out with five sets of 15 regular push-ups, and then you do all kinds of other push-ups, diamond push-ups, these swoop things. I don't know, they're crazy. But so now we didn't do this at our house, right? I'm still in pain. I can praise God a little bit. But out of the thing, like these guys that are doing it, they're like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. They're calling them to something. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. When you got 10 guys around you and you're the one who wants to quit, the last thing you do because you're being called to something, that's exhorting. You don't want to quit. You don't want to quit. Sometimes we need people who are behind us going, let's go. Live for Jesus. Move it. Let's go. Now, in case you military people, see, Dave's out there going, yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it. My army buddy. It says with great patience and instruction. In other words, we don't yell just to yell. You know, we're not yelling and screaming and hollering and beating. And, you know, sometimes that is the military way. You know, and it does get results. But with great patience and instruction. And I love it because one of these guys who brought this program to him, he does these things called dive bombers. And like you start up in like a pyramid and you go down and to a push-up. It's like this crazy thing. And he does them pretty. I mean, they look pretty when he does them. Everybody else looks stupid when they do them. He looks pretty, right? And I love it because he'll be like when someone's trying it and they're just way off, he'll go, no, let me show you. And he's the loudest one out there yelling. And then he'll go, no, let me show you. And then what I love about what these guys are doing is, right, they're exhorting, a lot of exhortation. Exhortation? Exhorting. That's like exhortation or something like that. Anyway. But then they're like, listen, you do what you can do. You do what you can do. You do what you can do. And you know what they do? So if you're doing a set of 15 and they have 8 guys, one goes at a time. And if somebody can't do, let's say they can only do 10, guess what? Somebody else is going to pick up the other ones. I'll pick it up for you. How many are in the bank? So they say, how many are in the bank? And they always empty the bank at the end. Great patience and instruction. We're going to be with you. We're going to walk with you. We're not going to leave you. I'm going to yell a little bit every once in a while. And I'm going to let you cry on me every once in a while. And then we're going to walk on. And we're going to keep going. And we're not going to stop. And we're not going to stop. and we're not going to stop, and we're not going to stop. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Don't stop. Don't stop. Be Jesus to a dying world all the time. All the time. There is a challenge about that and a challenge to that. Look at what he says in verse 3. A challenge to preaching the truth. Verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. I mean, there's a challenge to preaching the word, right? There's a challenge out there because they don't want to hear it. I mean, really, do they want to hear it? They don't want to hear it. We feel like we live in a world where nobody wants the truth of Jesus anywhere around them, which is why we come to church and we do the holy huddle and we don't want to be outside of the church and we don't want to do anything outside the church. And we just kind of, in the rest of life, we're just head down, move on, keep going, don't look at anybody. Don't, you know, just keep on, just get to Sunday. Just get to Sunday or get to Wednesday night Bible study or just get to something else. Right? We just got to get through the world so I can get around people who believe like I believe so that I can speak Jesus. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be Jesus all the time, no matter what. The problem is, the challenge is that they don't want it. Guess what? That's why Paul's in jail. That's why Paul's about to die. That's why Paul is about to die, because he preaches the truth. You remember what it says in chapter 3? Look back with me. Chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says this, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. We're okay with those. Persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them, the Lord rescued me all. And then he says this, here's some great encouragement for the church. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Praise the Lord. Amen? Give me an amen. 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 Praise God. Woohoo. Thanks, Patrick. See, we don't think that we should be persecuted. We think that if we live out Jesus, everything's going to be perfect for us. The way's going to open up. Listen, there are people who don't want to hear it. And when you preach the truth, they're offended at it. And the problem is too often is that we represent us as the truth. You know, this is what I believe and this is what I want and this is what I do. And so you should do it because I do it. And that's why we need to represent God's word. Because when they have an offense, it's not against me, it's against God's word. But they're going to be offended by the deliverer of the news. And that's you and me. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And so that's why we need to do it more. We need to preach, well, we'll just stop and we'll just drop out of life. Nope, that's not why we're here. We're here to live the truth at all times. We're here to live it before God in every way. And listen, it's only going to get worse. That's what it says in chapter 3. Those who are being deceived and deceiving are going from bad to worse. They're surrounding themselves. Are they not today? Are people not surrounding themselves with people and pastors even who tell them what they want to hear? Who will affirm them in anything they want to do, in any lifestyle they want to live, in anything that they want to be? You can practically find a church practically affirm you in everything. There are churches out there that, if you want to live that, it's your truth, that's fine. They don't want to hear it, which is why we've got to speak, which is why we've got to live it out every day, which is why we got to know God's word, because when they come at us with all this other junk, and there's a lot of junk being spewed right now, There is a lot of junk being spewed out there right now. That is garbage thinking. Now listen, they have parts of the truth, right? Because that's what Satan does. When Satan says something, usually, you know, scripturally, what he's done is he has bits and truth of truth out there. You know, so there's something that sounds okay in it, and then you build some sort of logic around that little bit of something, and then it sounds like it's okay to do. And it sounds like it makes sense to be. And if you don't know God's word, if you don't know the truth, and you're not standing up for the truth, you're gonna fall into it. You're gonna fall into heresy. So much of the church has. I'm sorry, too much of the church has. Too much. I joke sometimes, and you know, I'll say something obnoxious to somebody, and then I'll say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to speak truth. Well, that's just being obnoxious, and that's I'm good at that, praise the Lord. You know that. But the reality is, I'm a pastor, and I'm called to speak truth, whether you like it or not. But you're a person of God, and you're called to speak truth, whether they like it or not. And again, we can do that with great patience and instruction. We can do that with gentleness. We can do that with a lot of love, right? We can do that with a lot of love. As a matter of fact, what is 1 Corinthians? I'm going back, I know. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How are we to act in ministry? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and not all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. I'm never allowed not to love. Even people who are obnoxiously wrong. Even people who are just surrounded by people who want to tell them what they want to hear so they can live whatever way they want to live and do whatever they want to do and be justified in that. Even when they persecute me. Even when they call me names. Even when they hate me. I'm called to love them. And to minister in grace and love with great patience and instruction. Because that's what the gospel has commanded me to do. All right, we got to move on. Charge to preach the truth, to challenge of preaching the truth. Well, there's a few considerations for preaching the truth that Paul kind of gets into real quick in verse 5. He just gives us four real quick ones. Verse 5, he says, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. I lost it. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. All right, considerations. And out of the Warren Wiersbe B series, we've got a few B's, right, that you should be. All right, the first is this. Be alert to spiritual danger. Be alert to spiritual danger. When he says, be sober in all things, he means keep your mind. Be alert to what's happening out there. You're in battle. You are in a battle every single day. You're not only in a battle when you leave the door, you're in a battle right here. Because even half of you today have been bombarded in your head with stuff that's happening in your life, even today, even in the midst of the sermon. Right? You're being bombarded. There's things that are happening in your life that are bombarding you. We've got to be alert to that. We've got to know what's happening. We've got to keep sober in mind. We've got to not freak out about it. We've got to not allow fear to take over, right? He says in 1 Timothy, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's sober thinking. That's sober-mindedness. And so we need to be alert of that at all times. Don't get sucked into ideas or emotions. Don't get sucked into movements. You know why people riot? They might start out with an idea of anger and might be a right anger or a wrong anger, but they start out with something, and then something happens, and they get carried away in the emotion of it. And you have people that would never firebomb someplace who are throwing Molotov cocktails into something. Because they've been caught up in the ugliness. Don't get caught up in the emotion. And especially make sure you know what you're thinking. All right, so be alert to spiritual danger. Secondly, be strong in the face of adversity. Listen, trouble's going to come. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, he did. He was crucified for what he believed. Well, that's okay. If I'm just nice enough, they won't crucify me. I don't care how nice you are. If you speak the truth to them, somebody's not going to like you. And again, we're not to do it, oh, look, somebody doesn't like me. Woo, I must be okay. No, you might be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. All right? Don't be a jerk. You could be as nice as anything, and people might still hate you because you're speaking the truth. So you've got to be strong. You've got to be strong in that. When you preach the truth, there will be those who are offended. Never be surprised. As a matter of fact, you know what Jesus says? In this world, you will have adversity. You will have trouble. He says, take care, because I've overcome the world. If you're on Jesus' side, you're on the right side, and you're going to end up as a winner in the end. An overcomer is what he calls us. Thirdly, he says, be evangelistic. Be evangelistic. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Now these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, because of what he has done, we are ambassadors for Christ. God was making an appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors to the world. We are his representatives. And we are his representatives every moment of the day. We are his representatives when we are on Facebook and we are on Instagram, when you are on Twitter, when you are on TikTok, when you are on whatever the social media is that you're on, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. That means the music that's playing in the background matters. That means that the words that you use matter. That means that the forward that you're forwarding matters. Well, it's not for me. I'm just forwarding somebody. No, guess what? You're representing it as something of Christ. Well, no, I'm not. I'm just representing. No, you're a representative of Jesus at all times. Never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that you are his ambassador. We've been given that ministry of reconciliation. We must see everything out there as the mission field. A missionary is not somebody who goes overseas. A missionary is somebody who knows Jesus and is on mission for God wherever they are. Doesn't matter what uniform you wear. It doesn't matter what you wear to work or where you go to work. You are a representative of Jesus. So represent. Be evangelistic at all times. And then fourthly, he says, be faithful. Fulfill your ministry. Keep on keeping on. God's given you gifts, use them. God's called you into ministry, do it. Don't back off. Use what God has given you to his glory at all times. Never shrink back from that. And never be apologetic about that. Again, we're not called to be ugly people ever. But we are called to do what God's called us to do. Fulfill your ministry. Give it all to it. Give it all to it. There's no excuses. And listen, there are seasons of life, and I get it. I get it. And there are seasons of life, and there are times and things that restrict us, but we use that as excuses much more often than they are really reasons. You've been called in Christ. and you've been given gifts in Christ. You are released for ministry. We want to release you to ministry in this church. Why? Because you've been called to minister. As representatives of God, you've been called to exalt Christ and to point others to him. Brothers and sisters, that's who we're called to be. We do that. We're called to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God, right? To never forget who we are. We always do it in the power of Jesus. It's tough. It's hard. We put on and off this flat, the Spirit, like it's like, you know, we shouldn't, but we do. We need to just continue to press into Jesus, continue to allow his Spirit to guide and direct us and to empower us for ministry, to be what we've been called to be and to do what we've been called to do, to preach the word. Listen, the end is near. Whether that means the end of the world or just the end of you or just the end of them, whoever you're talking to, the end is near. Because in the scheme of things, even if they live 80, 90, 100 years, it's not that very long in eternity. The end is near. And if they don't have the truth, they're going to go to hell. If they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell. And if you love them even a little bit, that means you're going to give them Jesus. So let's give them Jesus. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you for Christ. I thank you for your love and your mercy toward us. I thank you for your great patience and instruction toward us, Lord. Father, I pray for forgiveness for myself and for the church of Jesus Christ where we have not represented well at times. And I ask for forgiveness for the so many times that we've shrunk back. That even in the face of danger and the face of adversity, we've given into it. And we've not preached the truth, Father, forgive us. Instead, may we just live out Jesus. With our very lives first and then with the words of our mouth, may we live Christ in a dying world. In a world that so desperately needs Jesus. Because the end is near. The end is near. Father, may we just be what you've called us to be. Lord, we need to do that by the power of your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, every day. May we press into you. May we give ourselves over to you. May we allow you to use us, may we be instruments of yours. And Lord, there may be some here today who are watching today who have not, who know you as their Lord and Savior, and yet they've not been used as an instrument of God, Lord. And you're touching their heart. You're tapping at them, and Lord, doing something in them. And I pray that they indeed would respond. Not just an emotional response, but a true heartfelt response to be used of God and to be ones who are called of God, ambassadors for God, the masterpiece of Christ. Lord, may we do that to your glory. May we do it in exalting you in everything that we do, that others may be pointed to you. I love you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.